Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to the Friday Morning Show on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you experience life and hopefully spirituality. Today is March 3rd, 2017. And of course, this is the spot that I'm now sharing with Mark Husson and possibly some of my other colleagues as well, because that's it. It's the Friday Morning Show, and we're just kind of taking turns talking about different things. But a couple of times a month, usually on the first and the third Fridays, I will be here talking about A Course in Miracles. And thankfully, oftentimes I will be here with my friend Susan Dugan. And I know that many of you are familiar with her because she has been kind of a staple on what I used to call the Course in Miracles show on Friday mornings. And she is a teacher in Denver. She is an author. She does a lot of great stuff. So we always have these wonderful discussions. And of course, I also love the fact that she always has a ready suggestion for what we should talk about. If I say, hey, Susan, what's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? She always has some great ideas. And today's is no exception. We're going to be talking about ideas that come out of the ACIM workbook for students, and it's lesson 190, which is, I choose the joy of God instead of pain. So before we get that conversation started, though, let's make sure we have another conversation started. And that is that if you want to go over to Facebook and come into our private group, you can do that. And that way you can actually ask questions. You can make comments while we're talking. And to the extent that we can, we'll go over there. We'll take a look and see, because, you know, we can kind of move this discussion in different directions if we want to. And if you have never been in our private group, the 1-2 Radio group, the way you're going to find it is by going to our regular website, and that's 1-2radio.com. And when you go over there, what you'll see is on the left side of the page, there will be a column, and one of the things that you'll see as an option is chat. And when you click on that chat link, it will automatically take you to Facebook. And then you can just ask to join the group. And then our producer, Scott, will be there, and he'll let you in. And then you can go ahead and like I said, post comments or ask questions or that sort of thing. So if you'd like to join us that way, that's just an option. But you can always do that. It's one of the ways that you can just kind of be a part of the show today. So let's go ahead and get started. And like I said, you guys know Susan Dugan. I know that many of you do. But I always like to push her books because I think her books are just incredible. One is Extraordinary Ordinary Forgiveness. She has another one that's Forgiveness Offers Everything I Want, and Forgiveness, the Key to Happiness. And one of the things I remind our audience of is I hope this isn't disrespectful, but I find her books hilarious. And they just always, you know, they're very spiritual, they're very to the point, but they always make me laugh. And I think they make me laugh because I see myself in them. You know, she is very, very candid about what it's like to be a person, a spiritual person living on planet Earth, believing in an illusion, and what it's like when, you know, you keep kind of hitting your head and going, well, duh, how did I forget this? You know, how did I forget that I was actually a divine person having this experience? And so I love her books, and I think you would too. And if you want to check those out, you can always find them on Amazon.com. There might be other places as well, but I know that you can, you know, just Google them and you'll find them. And Susan is also a facilitator of study groups in Denver, Colorado. She is like every Tuesday night, she is there facilitating that group. And so she's a person you really want to hook up with if you're in the Denver metro area as a teacher. So in any case, with no further ado, let's get Susan on the show today. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you, CA. What a nice introduction.
Well, you are great. And I mean, you know, once again, I love the fact that you always have a great idea, because especially, you know, if I'm just feeling like, I don't know, just going in circles or feeling overwhelmed, you will suggest something like you did today. You said, let's do lesson 190. And I read lesson 190 and and I say, oh my God, that's exactly what I needed to hear this week. You know, I needed this lesson. And it's like, how did Susan know that, you know?
Well, that's the wonderful thing about the course, isn't it? It feels so personal and so intimate. You open it to any page and it's like, that's it.
That's what I needed.
It's always saying the same thing, and we always need the same thing, but it's, you know, it's said, as you know, so eloquently in so many different ways, but it's, the message is always the same. And that is one of, you know, that nothing outside the power of our mind has the power to take our peace away unless we let it. And that's you know, that is not a message that we really want to hear. And the more we work with the course, the more we get in touch with just how much we don't really want to hear that message, because if we did, we would, you know, we would be living our lives differently than we're living them. And
right.
So, you know, as you were pointing out about my books, they are meant to be just an honest account of what it's like to try to live this course and really confront the deep desire that we have to compartmentalize it and, you know, have our lives be one thing and our spirituality another. And to keep those two things, you know, in your introduction, you said something, your introduction to the show or about the station was something to the effect of how, you know, this is about, you know, how to live in your life and hopefully spirituality. And
right.
There's the rub, isn't it? You know, because,
yes.
because we, you know, we become fascinated mentally with the ideas often of our spirituality, whatever it may be, but really all spiritual teachings are worth nothing if they are not bringing us toward greater union and greater awareness that we are all fighting the same hard battle and that, you know, our unkind thoughts are never justified, period. And, you know, that is so that is not, you know, our experience in this world is anything but divine. We have no a connection most of the time or awareness of the part of us that we, you know, the course gives a great explanation for how this metaphysically occurred, but the part of us that we rejected was our divinity and our union. And so we're constantly trying to make real out externally that tiny mad idea that we could be separate from divinity. And so I, you know, this lesson, like all, I mean, the workbook is the part of the course and the manual, I suppose, too, that really talks about how do you live this? You know, it introduces us to how a way to live this. And then and that's the beginning. And then we take it to the rest of our lives. And so the reason that I had chosen this lesson in particular was simply because I'm gonna just bust myself here and talk about how negative I've been in the last few weeks and probably months and how caught up I was getting again in the, what I saw as the troubles in the world and the, you know, I happen to be, to not agree with what's going on with the current administration, but I also recognize that, you know, people who did support the current administration look at it as their savior. And I also recognize that that's the same mistake, you know, our belief that the body or the world can give us, pleasure also means it can give us pain. And that's what duality is. And so what I was recognizing within myself was, you know, this complete compartmentalization again of course, of practicing this course. I was so caught up in my judgments and my wanting to do something, you know, wanting to fix, wanting to change, while still aware. I mean, I've come, you know, I teach this stuff, so I've come far enough to recognize that there's something very wrong with what I'm doing, but it's finally the pain of what we're doing, you know, the awareness that even the wanting to be right brings me some temporary relief from the pain of the human condition. It ultimately, you know, the price that I pay for that is my awareness of love. And that's too big a price at some point. And so, you know, this lesson, the phrase peace to such foolishness is what kept reverberating in my head. And Ken had referred in several workshops to this lesson as well and emphasized that phrase, at peace to such foolishness. It is foolish to believe that, you know, time can come to circumvent eternity, as the Course says. It's foolish to believe that what's motivating people on both sides of any argument is different. It's not different. We all, if we believe that we're here as fugitives from love, we all feel the pain of that. And however we, you know, whatever we think the solution is, whatever we identify as the problem, is they're all just disguises for the real problem of believing that we're separate from God. And so what I recognized in myself was that it was painful to keep pushing the Course's answer away, which is really meaning pushing out that memory of wholeness within our minds that we all have too, which is, you know, the Course calls Jesus or Holy Spirit, but you can call it anything you want. It's painful to be out of touch with that part of our mind for extended periods of time. I mean, it will never, ever result in what I'm hoping it will, which is, you know, to prove I exist, but it's not my fault. It will never get rid of that guilt in my mind over believing that I destroyed love and pushed God's love away. And so, you know, what brings me back to choosing and the recognition that I have a choice is the pain of it. And, you know, at that point I become teachable by my inner teacher, because I finally, you know, give up and recognize that my way isn't working. And I want to challenge these unkind thoughts, because as long as I'm feeling unkindly toward all these others out there, whoever the enemy at the moment is that I'm identifying, I will always feel unkindly toward myself. And, you know, I can take action in the world and I can have my opinions, but if I'm invested in believing that there's a good and bad to that, and that some people are worthy of love and some people are not, then I'm the one, you know, I'm the one that's psychotic at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, I was just thinking as you said that, I recently ran across a quote from George Harrison in which he said, if you want to hate, there will always be somebody to hate.
Right.
And you know, I mean, it was just kind of goes to show you, in some ways, truth is just always there, but it keeps being repeated by different people in different ways and by different generations. So if that's what you want, you will find it. It doesn't matter. And by the way, when you quoted that piece to such foolishness, I had to point that out, because in fact, when I was rereading this, I highlighted it because I instantly had this image of this Shakespearean play. And I could just see this guy on stage shaking his hand and going, peace to such foolishness, you know, kind of almost like a Roman, you know.
right. Yes, it's very rhetorical sounding. And
but it was just so funny because it is. It's, you know, and in today's vernacular, I think it would just be like me going, enough.
Right.
Enough of this.
Yeah.
When
right.
are you going to stop this, you know?
Right. And really, you know, again, the person that we have to call enough to is ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about anybody out there. I mean, when you were talking about the, you know, there's the George Harrison quote, and there's, you know, there will always be someone out there. There's an endless supply because we believe, you know, there seems to be this endless supply of guilt in our mind that we have to project outward. So again, we're constantly unconsciously, but very vigilantly on the search for culprits out there, you know, to relieve this guilt, this internal guilt that we feel, but we don't know the cause of. And what that's really about from the Course's mythology of its mythology is to say that I really do exist apart from God, but it's not my fault. It's blanks. And the other thing that, you know, what that's reflecting, and this lesson gets at that too, is really our belief that it's near God. You know, we're acting that out in our relationships, but we believe that if God is real, I am not. And so I am willing to endure constant pain in this world, the constant pain of all those nutcases I've identified out there, constant pain of my own body, the constant pain of the human predicament and the human, you know, the human quote unquote condition, which is mortality. I'm willing to endure that. And that's the price that I will pay from believing that I destroyed God. And the God that I've had to make up in his place is the ethos God. And that's the God of most of our religions that is a dualistic God, is a punishing God, you know? And so mm-hmm. I'm trying to proclaim that I really do exist. And God notices it. Look at, you know, God's going to get me for this. And we have a very punishing world that we've made up as a result of this. But the Course is saying, you know, this has taken place in your head. And that's, you know, peace to such foolishness. Jesus will never, ever agree with us on that. The Jesus of the Course, the Jesus of the world will, you know, because again, that was made up as a projection of the guilt in the mind to fortify the dream rather than to question it. And A Course in Miracles is all about questioning it. You know, really lesson 5 is the most fundamental one. And it's the one that I've been emphasizing most in my teaching of late, because that's what I'm trying to learn myself, which is lesson 5 is I'm not upset for the reason I think. I'm not anxious for the reason I think. I'm not outraged. I'm not feeling self-righteous. I'm not, I'm not terrified. I'm not, whatever, fill in the negative
emotion. Fill in the blank, yeah.
I mean, at the same time, I'm not elated for the reason I think. I'm not feeling hopeful for the reason I think. You know, we don't have to really work with that as much. It's less frequent most of the time, but it's equally true. And so again, if you believe the body can give you pleasure, you believe it can give you pain. And we all have times in our lives when we believe that the body can also bring us pleasure, and it brings us pleasure, you know, in other bodies, in our special relationships. It brings us pleasure in substances that seem to relieve the pain of the human condition. It brings us pleasure in food. It brings us pleasure in money and success and those kinds of things. But as we all know, how long does that last? You know, for a nanosecond, there's never.
Right.
You know, it's we're on to the next lusting after something. It can never be filled. We're all addicted to this. And I mean, what really struck me was with noticing this within myself and how I had really compartmentalized this and forgotten, but how addictive it was is now, you know, I have got an upgrade on my iPhone, for Christmas. My daughter gets the next version and I get to, on the plan, get the one below it. That's my house. Since she's been 15, that's been the way we've operated. But, I'm not that into stuff, but anyway, so it's a much more sophisticated phone. And now I have all of the, headlines are just sort of instantly there. I mean, you have to swipe. So they're not instantly there. You have to do one thumb swipe and there they are.
Oh my God.
They're all the headlines. And so, but how addicted I was to checking the headlines so that I could feed this sense of righteousness, you know, mm-hmm. and get outraged again. And I knew that I was wrong and I knew that there was another answer, but I didn't want the Course's answer because there's no me in union. You know, this keeps the story of all of this, all of these problems out there and, you know, of being under attack and being, you know, justified in what I'm feeling is what holds this whole thing together. So we're deeply terrified of the answer and, you know, we don't have to berate ourselves or feel guilty about it, but it really is silly and it's peace to such foolishness. You know, Jesus, laughter,
yes.
will, you know, look at what you're doing. I mean, at one point I had this image, you know, I write often these imaginary conversations that I have with Jesus in my books and blog posts and so forth. And because I sort of do have those kinds of conversations in my mind. And, you know, I had this sort of thought of, you know, Jesus, I can't meet with you right now because, you know, I have to respond to a DNC email that I just got.
Yeah, I have to do something in real life, Jesus.
Yeah, right. And express that, you know, that I'm on board with their outrage, you know. And so like we don't have to stop again. The Course isn't saying we don't have opinions or we don't take action in this world. But if we're, you know, we have to look at what we're really doing. If there's unkindness involved in this, if we're saying, as I really was, that, you know, the perpetrator of this is not deserving of compassion, is not that the pain that's motivating whatever behavior whatever kind of ego attack seems to be happening out there is not the same pain that I feel and that motivates my ego attacks. If I'm saying that our ego attacks are different in God's eyes, then I'm wrong and peace to such foolishness.
Yes. Well, and you know, the other thing I love about this particular lesson is what I love about other parts of the course, which is it's just matter of fact. There's no argument about it.
Right.
You know, like when it just opens up and it says pain is a wrong perspective. Period. It's a wrong perspective.
Is that
simple? You know, and it says when it's experienced in any form, it's proof of self-deception. It's not a fact at all. And sometimes I just love that. Like, it just kind of brings, you know, because I want to argue. I want to go, but. And it's just like, this is it. Pain is a sign, illusions reign in place of truth. Period. That's it, guys. You know?
Yes, yes. Well, I mean, Jesus is defenseless. He's, you know, he's authoritative because he's speaking the truth, but it completely disarms us when we hear things like that, because it's, again, it's, you know, we want the drama. We want, you know, no, it's more than that. I'm really a bad course student, you know?
Yeah. Or you don't get it. I mean, it's this and it's that. And
do something about this. I mean, do you see it could blow up the world? It could, you know, we're seeing, catastrophe everywhere, you know? And if we're honest with ourselves, we got to admit we're seeing it everywhere. You know, I mean, it's, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, in fact, that's what's interesting, because that's what I've noticed lately is as I'm looking at what's going on in the world, some of the words that keep coming to me is just craziness, where the facts don't add up. It's not rational. It's like the pieces don't go together. But this is what's kind of funny, is that with my own health insurance, I'm experiencing the same thing, because at the end of the year, I got a letter from my health insurance saying, we're not going to offer your policy anymore. You have to choose another one. So I chose another one, you know, set up the payment schedule. And then a month later, it's not coming out of my account. And by the way, they sent me the cards. They sent me all the new cards, all the paperwork. And so, but they're not taking it out of my account. So I called them and they said, oh, well, we don't have you with a new policy. And I said, but you sent me all the paperwork. I said, you sent me a new card. And they said, okay, well, let's get this figured out. And so they then took, you know, 2 months of payments. I gave it to them right then on the phone. And they said, and we're going to set this up on an automatic payment. Well, then a week later, I get a letter saying something like, well, you know, your insurance didn't, you know, went away at the end of the year. And so we automatically enrolled you in something different.
Right.
I'm like, what do you mean you enrolled me in something different? I already enrolled. And by the way, the price was completely different than the one I'd enrolled in.
Right.
So then I'm like, so once again, I'm calling and I'm going, okay, now wait a minute. Am I in two policies? What's happening? Oh, no, no. You know, this is all figured out. But the point, Susan, is this. I must get two or three letters from them a week, and every one contradicts the one that came before.
Right.
I mean, I am just like going, okay, well, I'm hoping I have insurance. It's coming out of my checking account. They seem to just, I mean, it's almost as if there are so many branches of the company, they have no idea what the other branch is doing. And so far, I haven't gotten really angry about it, you know, which I'm glad about. But, I mean, yeah, what else can I do? I mean, it's just a joke. Every time I see a letter from them, I'm like, oh, what are they going to tell me today?
Right.
It's like, it is crazy. Nothing adds up. Nothing is logical. And then I even call them and they're like, we don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, you know, I mean, that's so true. I mean, the whole ego thought system is insane. I mean, the course tells us that all the time. And within it, it has a certain logic, but it's logic. It's only logical because we've never questioned it, you know, and there's a great line from a Leonard Cohen song, and I'm paraphrasing. I don't know that I have it right, but you know, you can add up the parts, but you won't get a whole. You know, and that's really what the course is saying, and what Ken was always saying when he would talk about Ken Wapnick, and you know, he would talk about 2 + 2 = in the 2 + 2 = 4 world, things seem to add up, but 2 + 2 = 5. Which, you know, only saying that to make the point that no, it doesn't add up.
Right.
Actually, you know, 2 + 2 = 1. I mean, there's nothing but one. So, you know, everything is nonsensical here. All facts are alternative facts.
Yes.
The world, unfortunately. And so, you know, it's really that, again, we're not there yet. And we don't, Jesus doesn't expect us to be there yet. And that very gentle way that he talks to us and that matter of fact way that you were describing, that his voice in addressing us is always very, very, calm and patient and, you know, never accusing, never judgmental. But the Course is about questioning it and questioning, you know, do I really want to forever sacrifice my awareness of something that is so much greater than this and that will bring me peace and joy all the time for this craziness, you know? I mean, I do in any given moment have a choice. I can in any given moment remind myself that, you know, I'm not upset because of this, because it's nonsense. It's all nonsense, you know? And there is, beyond this, there is a peace available to me. And I don't even have to be ready to choose that peace. I don't even have to want that. I just have to entertain the possibility that maybe there's a lot more going on here than I'm aware of.
Right. Well, and you know what I was kind of thinking, even though I don't want to believe this, is that, yeah, now I think the world is crazy. Well, why did I think it wasn't crazy before?
Well, it's getting, see,
you know, it's always been crazy, but for whatever reason, yeah, as long as it kind of goes along with my opinion, then it's not crazy. But the minute it's not my opinion, it's crazy. And I thought, well, you know, maybe this has always been crazy. I mean, to somebody and from somebody's perspective, it's always been crazy.
And that's exactly right. You know, that's the point I was trying to make earlier that yes, it's always crazy for, we need to have the crazy be in someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to have situations and people in our lives that are crazy, that appear to be crazier than we are to make us feel better. That's the whole setup of, you know, the ego thought system. And so the answer isn't just questioning that that's what the real, you know, that's the cause, that the crazy person, the crazy situation that I'm reacting to right now in any given moment, that's the real cause of the craziness. It's not. And, you know, I don't even have to be ready, as I was saying, to know that it's not. I just have to be ready to question it. And the great thing about that is now you're seeing that, you know, just that question that you raised that maybe it's always been crazy is a right-minded question. So that's using your experience with the insurance company as a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
We're asked to do. Is just say, you know what? Maybe this has nothing to do with that. I mean, maybe this situation with the insurance company, maybe this situation with the new administration is just another classroom. You know, matter of fact, it's just another classroom. There is, the Course insists repeatedly and, you know, from the very first sentence of the text that there's no hierarchy of illusions. The very first sentence of the text is there's no order of difficulty in miracles. Well, that's the practice. The miracle is the change of mind, the practice of forgiveness, the shift to right-mindedness. It's not a miracle in form. So if there's no order of difficulty, there seems to be some things that we, you know, that are impossible to practice this with, but the Course tells us no. There's no order of difficulty in miracles, and there's no hierarchy of illusions. An illusion is an illusion is an illusion. You know, it seems to be that some are way more extreme and threatening than others, but that's the way we set it up to keep us mindless. And so we have to question it. And it just as soon as we're ready to question it, it becomes a classroom in which we can learn and healing can take place.
Yes. Well, and you know what I was kind of thinking is, even though, once again, I mean, I fall into it all the time. Well, this is much harder to deal with than this over here. This illusion is much bigger. And yet, if you go back to the, you know, often the Course and people that teach it talk about it, it's the equivalent of watching movies. Well, it's just as easy to turn off a happy movie as to turn off a horror movie or a sad movie. You know, you click the button and it's gone.
Right.
And so it doesn't really matter what the content was. It's just as easy to change your mind about anything.
Right. And you don't even have to turn it off, is what I was going to say, because really the practice is just watching it with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stepping back and questioning, you know, that's the whole idea that we are, that we're not the hero of the dream. We're the dreamer. And so we're not the star of the movie. We're the producer and scriptwriter and director of the movie. So if we can sit in the, you know, step back and watch ourselves doing this and just question, you know, maybe there I go again. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe the presence of love is still beside me and I can see this differently. And we know we've seen it differently when that reactivity drops, finally does drop away. And, you know, we've all had experiences of that where something that seems like such a grave problem suddenly doesn't seem like a problem at all. And we can't really put our fingers on why, you know, because, but we've been practicing this and it's, there is no, there's no me versus them in the holy instant, in that, in outside, you know, in the quiet center outside of the mind outside of all of this. There's no, there's, you know, we can be matter of fact again. Oh, I just chose mistakenly. Oh, it was just a wrong perspective. No big deal. No battle at that point.
Yeah. And you know what? I want to read a couple of sentences because I think it goes right back to what you were saying. And it is, this is sort of in the middle of the lesson. And it says, it is your thoughts alone that cause you pain.
Tell
nothing.
I'm
let's see. Paragraph. One, two, three, four.
You're on five. Yeah.
It is. So it's your thoughts alone that cause you pain. Nothing external to your mind can hurt or injure you in any way. There is no cause beyond yourself that can reach down and bring oppression. No one but yourself affects you. There is nothing in the world that has the power to make you ill or sad or weak or frail. But it is you who have the power to dominate all things you see by merely recognizing what you are. And right. I'm emphasizing that because it doesn't even say who you are. It says by recognizing what you are. And right. It goes right back to what you were saying is we are the director, mm-hmm. you know, or the script writer. We are the one who has the power to look at it differently. And so all this, and I love that it's just recognizing what you are, or right. in another way of saying it is you are a spiritual being. So all of a sudden it's not, we're not the victim anymore. Right. When we recognize what we are, then we do have the power to dominate all things, to change our perception.
Right. And not dominate all things like the world would think it
right.
is.
Right.
Not, you know, triumph and have form go our way.
Right.
But dominate all things in the sense that nothing else, you know, realize that it nothing out there that's, you know, in on the screen can hurt me in any way. And that everybody on the screen is acting. You know, that we're all fighting the same hard battle of believing we're the, everybody on the screen that we're interacting with thinks that they're the hero of the dream, of the movie too.
Yes.
You know? I mean, they're just, we're all confused. We're terribly, terribly confused about what's happening. And we're all equally confused. I mean, everybody has the power, the same power of the mind that we have. And everybody has a part of their mind that is 100% ego and a part of their mind that is, you know, that is the memory of wholeness that knows this never happened. And can be truly kind to all. And everybody has the same chooser.
Well, exactly. That's it. What we are. We are choosers.
We're choosers. We're not bodies. We're not. And see, that scares the hell out of us, though. And
yes.
That's the problem. And, you know, and so, again, we have to focus, I think, on, although it's very important to know that metaphysically where this course is leading and what it says. You have to know what this course says and really thoroughly understand that, or you're going to get very mixed up with it, and people do get extremely mixed up with
yes.
it. But,
yes.
But once you've mastered that, and you keep reminding yourself of that, the real work of the course is this day-to-day questioning, you know, and the journey that we're taking with Jesus toward trusting more and more in the right mind that he represents, that memory of wholeness, and questioning and raising to doubt more and more our ego thoughts and that, you know, that solid identification that I have with my me-ness at the cost of everything else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is what I am withdrawing my faith in. And as all I have to do really is keep questioning and doubting that, and the faith in my right mind automatically is bolstered every time I do that. You know, I mean, it's not that second step is really taken for us. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Cause in fact, you know, this might sound a little convoluted, but I was talking about this the other day to somebody about, you know, I kind of used to live my life a lot about, oh, I'm going to miss something. And I don't know why, but maybe it was the Course in Miracles. I finally figured out, you know what? I'm not going to miss anything. Everything I need in whatever moment is going to be there. Right. And one of the things, you know, there again, you know, when I started studying the course, I just attacked it, you know, and I mean, you know, doing all these lessons and reading it and rereading it and, you know, because I got to get it. And I think lately, you know, when I wake up, I just go, you know what? I'm going to increase the number of times today that I just remember to ask for help. Mm-hmm. That's it. I'm not going to, you know, I don't wake up and go, okay, you're going to read 10 chapters. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. I am getting to the point where I'm less about being driven about what it is I'm going to do behaviorally, other than I'm just going to increase the number of times that I remember to ask for help.
Right.
And then knowing that as long as I'm asking for help to see this situation, that I'm going to have exactly what I need in that moment to do that.
That's right. Yep. And just setting your intention like that, you know, it's really the practice. I mean, I do something similar, which is really, you know, I ask every morning and sometimes with specific names because they're the, you know, seem to be the issues, to see everyone as Jesus does, you know, to try to see as he sees and self when I'm not. And, you know, that is, and it's amazing how, you know, again, it's the whole point is to not compartmentalize this. And so it kind of sets up that, you know, at least knowing that I'm wrong, even when I don't want the answer, I must, if I'm feeling this judgment right now and this call to arms and later in this lesson, it talks very eloquently about that. You know, then I've chosen a wrong perspective. I've chosen the ego's perspective, you know, and I can choose again. I mean, it's not a crime. It's not a, you know, it's just a mistake. But that's not my intention. I want to learn to see as Jesus does. And that's how I learn to see myself as Jesus does, you know, so, but I mean, whatever seems to be bugging me, at the moment, those are my classrooms and I name them.
Yeah.
You know, to see, even though it's not about the specific, you know, we're not forgiving anything real, but our experience is that it's real. So, you know, it's whatever that whoever I'm filling that blank of I'm not upset for the reason I think it's because of blank. That's the person or the situation that I asked to see differently, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and when you were referring to the, you know, lay down your arms, you know, that paragraph, which is a few paragraphs farther, those are the kinds of things that, once again, I guess they're behaviorally, you know, but I love those. I love having those visuals because,
yes.
You know, like, for instance, the other day I noted, I thought, oh, my shoulders are so sore. And I started thinking about it and I thought, what have you done that makes your shoulders sore? And I realized I had just been very worried and tense and upset. And so without ever knowing it, I was just holding my shoulders very, very tight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's so when I read things like this, it just says, lay down your arms and come without defense into a quiet place where heaven's peace holds all things still at last. And see, I need that visual. You know, I love that visual. Yeah, just relax. Lay down your arms. Lay down your defenses. And then it even says, lay down the cruel sword of judgment that you hold against your throat.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's it. I mean, we've talked about it before. Sometimes when I'm reading these, it's like I can feel it. I feel the sword in my hand and how heavy it is. And how willing I am to pick it up, and that's it, place it against my own throat.
Right. And if we're placing it metaphorically against someone else's throat, it's the only throat in there in need of slashing is my own, you know?
Right. Right.
So, yeah. But I you know, that's a great example of how the Course comes, meets us where we think we are. You know, every time it's talking about bodies and the world and all of that, I mean, Ken said that's all metaphorical because, you know, Jesus has to speak as if he's reaching into us within a dream and he has to use the language that we use, but
yes,
that's make it real, but it makes it real for us now. And so, you know, that does kind of get to us. And I know what you mean, that feeling of your shoulders, you know, kind of, just descending and, you know, returning, not in, I always think of mine are in their like upright and locked position.
Yes.
And finally letting that go. And so, you know, those are the kinds of passages that really just speak to our hearts. And, you know, Ken always said, you need to wrap your heart around this Course. Really let it get to you. You know, it's not an intellectual exercise. It's not, you know. Do we have any questions or comments? I'm not in the chat.
You know, I was just looking, and actually, no, people are making a few comments like, you know, oh, yeah, we're crazy and we love it. That comes from Chris. But I don't see any particular questions to address.
Okay.
So, but yeah, and the people that are there today, thank you so much for being in the chat room and making your comments. James and Judith and Renee and Kai, thank you so much for being there. But no, I don't see any questions that we can answer. But thank you for noticing that, Susan.
You're welcome. it's always nice to ask. I'm not really visually there. I don't know how to split my screens right to do this. So.
Yeah. Well, and see, here's the other thing. I mean, that's good always to check on those questions is because I'll tell you what I'm hearing are the unknown questions or maybe the unstated questions that people may hear. And by the way, Liliana is asking a question, so I'll get back to that in a minute. But it goes back to the idea of the wording, which is God, Jesus, you know, so often, and this has been brought to my attention this week, people just get crazy or they get totally, totally absorbed in those words and then they're not listening to the content. And that's one thing about the Course is that, and you even said it, you said the Jesus of the Course.
Right.
Because the Jesus or the God of the Course is not the Jesus or the God of Catholicism or Christianity or Muslim or even Buddha. And so it is a mistake. I mean, which is why I say to people, read the Course for yourself. Don't listen to somebody else tell you what it says. Read it. Go find out about it. Because the words we're using, those could easily incite in you, well, I'm not going to do this Jesus thing. You know, and it's like, right. But you're not really picking up on the content if you're allowing the word to derail you. And yet, I want you to know, I'm an expert on this. I didn't read the Course for years because of that very thing. Every time I heard somebody talk about the Course and they were talking about God, they were talking about Jesus, and they were using all these Christian words, I said, I don't need it. I don't need any more Christianity. I've been there. I know Christianity. And you know what? I was totally wrong.
Yeah,
totally wrong.
Yeah.
And I just... You know, it's kind of like not trying chocolate ice cream because I've seen brown food before and I didn't like it. You know?
Well, it's probably the same thing. Yeah, well, probably also, I mean, at a deeper level, it's very threatening and you know, I think we sense that too. We don't really want to go near the Jesus of the Course is completely non-dualistic. And what does that mean? Well, it's not a, you know, again, there's victims and victimizers are seen absolutely equally from that Jesus's point of view. It's a symbol of the love of, it's a symbol of God, the voice for God, you know, the Holy Spirit, Jesus are the memory of wholeness in our mind that we think we destroyed that wholeness, but we're still a part of it. We're still part of that undifferentiated union. And the Jesus of the Course judges no one. I mean, truly judges no one. And that's not the case if you are a careful reader of the Bible, even the
right.
New Testament, with the Jesus of organized religions. And it's certainly not the case in religions, most of which have perpetrated horrible crimes and have had horrible judgments that they've laid out on others in the name of goodness. And, there's great examples of kindness within religions, but there's great examples of horrible cruelty and wars waged and terrorism and all of it in all of the religions, you know? And so they're projections of the ego thought system. The Course is very different. And the God of the Course is very different too, because the God of the Course doesn't know about the world. You know, we are still part of truth. And if God knew about the world, you know, something would have actually happened to challenge that. And the Course says, no, it didn't. You know, God is not cruel. God is complete love and, knows that we are still a oneness joined as one, that not one note in heaven's song was missed. You know, we're dreaming otherwise, but nothing was ever challenged within that, you know, the truth of what we are, which is a part of God. That's completely beyond our understanding now.
Yes.
The Course tells us, don't try to understand that, but please know that that's what the Course is saying. God is not messing with this world. You know?
Right. And that's one of the hardest things for any of us to understand.
My nightmare. It's not, it's nothing to do with God. You know?
And by the way, we've got two questions and both of them would take, I think, at least an hour to answer, but let's see what we can do. Liliana says, how can I let go of control?
Oh, well.
I mean, so in a few minutes, can you suggest some things?
Control. Well, you know, I mean, I don't know that you do let go of control. We don't really let go of anything ourselves. I think you notice it. You know, you gently notice when you're trying to control and recognize that that's coming. You know, you question it. You raise it to doubt. Where is that coming from? And, you know, I'm not being controlling for the reason I think, lesson five. And, you know, there must be a part of me that's very frightened right now, but you can ask Jesus to help you, see why you need to control right now. You know, this is not the Course is not giving us specific help in terms of behavior or specific answers, but it is saying that, you know, it must be that I'm afraid of love right now or I wouldn't, because that's the cause of all of my, you know, seeming negative behavior or my grasping, you know, to try to fill this lack that I feel, to try to get others to, you know, to comply with my wishes and meet my needs. And we all are control freaks. But so you just gently question it and recognize there's a part of you that is very, very scared. It really has nothing to do with it seems to have to do with a particular person or situation, but I'm wrong about that. And I'd like to see this through, you know, I'd like to see peace instead of this. I'm not sure to answer, but I think that would be, you know, the Course's basic answer.
Yeah. And, you know, I would kind of go to the Manual for Teachers on the part that talks about judgment. And because this always sticks in my mind, it says, don't lay down judgment because it's the wrong thing to do. Lay it down because you're not good at it.
And
so I'd almost say the same thing about control, is that once we kind of step back and kind of laugh at ourselves like, oh, my God, I'm not very good at this control thing because everything always seems out of control. It's almost easier to step back and say, OK, I do want a different perspective. I want to see this differently. I want a little help, you know, so you're not consciously going, OK, I'm going to let go of control. You're just kind of laughing at yourself going, I'm not very good at it. So there must be a better way.
Right. And the letting go is really done for us. I mean, that's the end result of this practice. And, you know, not only is my control, have my efforts to control things ever worked out really well, but they hurt. It's painful. It's really painful and exhausting to try to be controlling things that really I can't control, you know. The only thing I can control is my reaction. And I control that only by questioning it, you know, not punishing myself for it, just recognizing that maybe I'm wrong about this.
Yes. And, you know, I want to offer something that, you know, I actually heard this in the form of a joke when I was quite young, but it's never kind of left me. And we saw it again last week with the Academy Awards. And I didn't actually see them, and so I kind of, you know, was Googling it afterwards. But, you know, there was a, what we consider a big, huge mistake. When they announced the best picture of the year, somebody got the wrong envelope, and they read the wrong name. And I said, you know, huge repercussions, big, big, big mistake. But you know what? If you look at what happened, it was a very small error. It was a very small error. Somebody handed somebody the wrong envelope.
Right.
That's all that happened. And yet the repercussions of making this very small error can be huge, or what we think is huge. Right. And I think I'm just bringing it out because sometimes, once again, I think we get all caught up in the illusion. We get all caught up in the effect, you know, like, how are we going to punish this? How are we going to change this? You know, what are we going to do? And it's like, it was a simple error that sometimes the answer is a lot simpler, I think, than we think. And I just kind of would remind people of that, you know. This wasn't some huge conspiracy to embarrass people. This was a mistake. The wrong envelope. And so I would just kind of offer that, you know.
Yeah.
And Susan, we are like within a couple of minutes of ending the show today.
Okay.
It goes so fast. I want to thank everybody, all the listeners and everybody in the chat room for your comments and your questions. And somebody did ask about forgiveness. And that's one of the ones that I was thinking, there's a simple answer, but there's a huge answer. And as you listen to this show, that's what we're always talking about. We're talking about forgiveness, learning to perceive things in a different way, which is probably one of the definitions of forgiveness. But Susan, what do you have any announcements or any other final comments you'd like to make as we wrap the show today?
Well, you know, actually, we have been talking about forgiveness the whole time. And I keep emphasizing, A Course in Miracles workbook lesson 5. Which is, I'm never upset for the reason I think. That is the first step of the Course's forgiveness. And the second step is lesson 34, I could see peace instead of this. But if I will just focus on lesson 5, I'm not upset for the reason I think. You know, I'm not anxious for the reason I think. I'm not, whatever you're feeling, whatever your reaction is at the time, that's introducing the, you know, questioning that I'm right about this. You're entertaining the possibility that maybe I'm wrong about the cause, and that will inevitably lead to lesson 34, because it will lead you to peace if you are willing to consistently start to challenge every unkind thought and reaction and every thought of excluding others that you have.
Yes. Well, thank you. All right. So anything going on you want to announce?
You know, I will be doing a series in April I'll have more probably next time we talk, but I'll announce it on my blog once I get the final information, with Miracle Share, with a woman named Danielle Scruton, who I've done some talks with before. And it will be on, the topic will be, it will be a webinar that's like 4 different installments once a week. And, it will be on learning to laugh with Jesus. So really, you know, learning to lighten up, with A Course in Miracles.
Oh, great topic. And you will be great at that.
I hope so. I hope I lighten up in between now and then.
Oh, well, no, Susan, I find you hilarious. I do. I mean, when I read your books, I'm always laughing out loud.
Okay.
So I think it's kind of a juxtaposition of something, because on one hand, you're a very serious person, but you're also a hilarious person at the same time. So I think you'd be very good at it. So thanks for that. And by the way, I just posted your blog, forays in forgiveness.com, in the chat room. So people, you can almost always find out what Susan's doing by going to that particular website. It is forays in forgiveness.com. And it is in the chat room if you want to go over there later and check that out, or Google her on, you know, on Facebook, and you'll find her. So, Susan, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Okay. And Scott, thank you. Our producer, Scott Weaver, was here today keeping us on track. So thank you very much for being here today and for doing all that you do. And everybody, I hope that you will just stick with 1-2 Radio today, because we have a lot of live programming coming up. And you know, next week you will find Mark Husson in this slot. I don't know what he's talking about next week, but you will find him on the Friday morning show. So I hope you'll check him out. So you have been listening to 1-2 Radio, and this is C.A. Brooks with my guest, Susan Dugan, where we are changing the way you think about life and spirituality.